Okay, this morning, Ephesians chapter 6, I'm taking the title from verse 11 and verse 13, where it's quoted twice here. Ephesians 6, verse 11 says, "Put on the whole armor of God." Put on the whole, complete, total armor of God. Now, if it's an armor of God, it must be pretty good. I mean, God's provided it, an armor, to protect us. It must be pretty good. Let's put it on. Put it on again in verse 11, or verse 13, rather. "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand," or withstand, "in the evil day," in the day of temptation. So the title for the message is "Put on the whole armor of God." Our God and our Savior does not save us and then leave us in this hostile world of vicious enemies to defend ourselves. He said, "Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world." He gives unto us means, devices, and tools to use actively to engage our enemies, and by His grace and strength to stand fast for the gospel, stand fast in the gospel, and contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints. Be sure of this: His grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. Let me read this familiar scripture to you. Don't turn, I'll just read it to you. When the Apostle Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 12, "Lest I be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord three times, that it might depart from me. And He said to me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." We are weak creatures. We need Christ to defend us at all times. And be sure, the God of all grace, as we just read, His grace is sufficient for us. Is His grace enough? Yes, it is. It's the grace of God. It's the grace of God. Now, look at verse 10. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. It reminded me, turn two or three pages over, it reminded me of what Paul writes in Philippians chapter 3. "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. To write the same thing to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe." So finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. Now, no believer is strong without the Lord Jesus Christ in us. We are by nature weak, sinful creatures of this flesh. Our Lord said this in John 15. He said, "Without me, you can do nothing." Nothing. We cannot believe the gospel without Him. We cannot repent. Repentance and faith is a gift of God. We cannot come to the Lord Jesus Christ without His calling us, drawing us by His power and His grace. We only believe the gospel according to His mighty power. "Without me, you can do nothing." And yet Paul writes this. Turn over here to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Look at verse 12. Philippians 4, 12. "For I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Now watch it. I can do all things through Christ who is my strength." So I'm nothing. Our strength is Christ. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord." It's only as we learn this lesson of faith to put no confidence in the flesh, but rather totally lean and trust Him at all times. He is our strength and He is our salvation. Now let me just read this to you because it's familiar. In Psalm 27, when David talks about his enemies, he says, "The Lord Psalm 27:1. The Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? Now, the strength of salvation is not you. The strength of faith is not you. The strength of salvation is Christ in you. That's the hope of glory. So He is. Finally, my brethren, be strong. Now, look what it says. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. In the Lord. And in the power of His might. Now, how much power does He have? All power is given to me in heaven and earth. He has all power. Wouldn't it be wise to trust Him, to look to Him? Another psalm, Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Now, verse, turn to one page, Ephesians 6, verse 11. In these next verses, the apostle lays out for us a clear roadmap how we are to be strong in the Lord in the power of His might. How to fight the good fight of faith. When Paul writes his last words from prison, 2 Timothy 4, he said, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Now look at verse 11 and verse 13. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the devil, the wiles of the devil. We can't stand against the devil in the strength of the flesh. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, in the evil time, and having done all to stand in Him. Take the whole, full, complete armor of the gospel, which is summed up in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the armament of the gospel. Put it on by faith. Use it. Stand and fight the good fight of faith. We live as believers in this evil world. We're surrounded by evil powers, by evil people that would consume us and destroy us if the Lord Himself did not take care of us by His grace. Now, you remember, don't turn, let me just read this to you because you're familiar with this. A good example of that when Peter was tempted and the Lord intervened in Luke 22:31. The Lord said to Simon Peter, Behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you like wheat. But I prayed for you that your faith fail not. When thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ always intercedes for us as our advocate, as our mediator. Peter was no match for the devil, was he? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. Now, look at verse 12 back at our text. For we wrestle not. We not only, and I think it can be rightly read this way, some versions give it this way, well, we wrestle not only against flesh and blood. We do have that conflict in the flesh, especially the believer, between the old man and the new man. There's a warfare there. We not only wrestle against flesh and blood, but against also principalities, against powers. He's talking about evil things. Against the rulers of darkness of this world. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wow. The reason we have need of complete armament of the Lord, we have some very strong and vicious enemies that would seek to harm us and to destroy us. Our battle as believers, not only do we have fleshly adversaries, and we, by the grace of God, Lord willing, we can face them and deal with them. They're sinful men, weak men just like we are. But he mentions here spiritual wickedness in high places. Spiritual enemies to our soul. Wicked spirits. What a gruesome description of our spiritual enemies. Rulers of darkness. Principalities and powers of darkness. Of which we cannot deal with. We cannot deal with. Who oftentimes these spiritual wicked enemies would so easily deceive us if the Lord didn't keep us by His grace. Find 2 Corinthians. I do want you to see this one. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Look at this, verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed to an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their deeds. These who are our adversaries, they don't come to us with a pitchfork and a pointed tail in a red suit. They come as angels of light that would deceive us if the Lord did not keep us. At one time, as unbelievers, we were walking with them. Turn over here to Ephesians chapter 2. You remember Ephesians chapter 2. At one time, we were walking with these workers of evil and the prince of the power of the air, the god of this world. Ephesians 2, verse 1, And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, were by nature children of wrath, even as others. But verse 4, But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead, hath quickened us together with the Lord Jesus Christ, raised us up together, and to make us sit together in the heavenlies in Christ. Now by the Lord's grace, because of the work of God's grace, we fight against them. They promote these false workers, these angels of light, falsely. They promote religious pride and self-righteousness rather than the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Now, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Verse 13. That you may be able to stand and withstand against all these forces of evil. Again, the Apostle Paul tells us to take what is provided, use what God has given, and use it wisely to enable us to withstand temptation and stand in the evil day against the evil one. Our Lord prayed for us in John 17 in his high priestly prayer. He said, Father, keep them from the evil one. Thank God he prays for us. Now I want you to look just across the page, Philippians chapter 1. To stand in that evil day. Philippians chapter 1, look at verse 27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, that I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, that's given of God, but also to what? Suffer for him. Now, the Lord does send us trials, but the Lord does send us grace that is sufficient for the trial. Now, in verses following, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14, down through verse 8. Now, I don't want to scare you here, but there's seven things that are mentioned here. Seven things that are given to us. Stand therefore upon the foundation that the Lord has laid out, which is the Lord himself. He is that foundation. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid. Stand and abide in the faith. Hold your ground, not yielding, not retreating, not deserting your post, but persevering in the faith. Continuing in the faith. Now, seven excellent weapons the Lord has given to us, beginning at verse 14. Stand fast, therefore. That's the third time he tells us to stand. Stand. What we stand upon? Not sinking ground. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is seeking sand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness. Wrap yourself up with the truth. Wrap yourself up with the truth found in the Word of God. This is mentioned first because it's the most important, and it's a sure foundation of the rest that is given. It is God's truth that sets us free from sin, from error, and false religion. He said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." The Lord Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So stand therefore, having your loins, yourself wrapped up with the truth found in the Word of God. Let's talk about the truth of who God is. How do you know anything about who God is? Well, the Word of truth reveals unto us who God is. He's holy, He's sovereign, He's eternal, He does not change. With the Lord, all things are possible. We don't know anything about who God is apart from the Word of truth. Wrap yourself up in the truth of who He is, and then wrap yourself up knowing who we are. Totally sinful, weak creature, totally dependent upon Him. The truth of the Word of God tells us the truth about who we are, the truth who God is, and the truth about how God saves sinners. How does God save sinners? Well, it's by His grace, isn't it? For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. It's God who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, given us in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. Now, having that foundation of the truth, being built upon the truth. Now, second thing he says here, having on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, the breastplate, a soldier, that covers his vital parts. Even our military, they have a vest that covers the vital parts, heart, lung, kidneys. And the military, and even our policemen today, they have to wear a vest to protect those vital parts. And I'm glad that they have that Kevlar, is that what it's called? It will stop a bullet. That's a good thing, but I tell you what's better, to have on a breastplate of righteousness. A breastplate of righteousness. What do you think he's talking about here? It's not our morality. Having on the breastplate of your morality. Well, God said, away with his filthy rags. Wouldn't you like to have a breastplate of righteousness that's woven and given and provided of God, and he puts it on you? He is the Lord, our righteousness before God. That's why Paul said, I count everything else lost, dung, and ruin, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, who is my righteousness. He's called in Jeremiah 23, He's the Lord, our righteousness. Blessed is that man whom the Lord imputeth righteousness without works. Satan and all of his allies cannot pierce or penetrate that righteousness provided of God in Christ Jesus. Now, aren't you glad you have that breastplate of Christ our righteousness? Yourself wrapped up in the truth. Your loins all girded up with the truth. Having on the breastplate of Christ. And then verse 15, here's the third thing. He goes down to the feet. Now, I've never been in the army. I've never been in the military. But I've talked to those who have. I have a dear friend who spent two tours in Vietnam. And one of the things that they emphasized to him was keeping his feet in good shape. Your socks, your boots. The boots, they give the military the best boots. Put your boots on. Boots on the ground. Having your feet shod as a believer with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, the military provides good boots, and I'm glad those soldiers have good boots, but wouldn't you rather have the gospel of peace upon your feet? Sure you would. having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Who prepares these? Who makes these shoes anyway? That's good to have a good shoemaker, isn't it? To buy good shoes. But who makes these, the preparation of these shoes for the feet of God's people? It's a preparation that He has done for us. It's a preparation of a gospel of peace. He made peace for us with His own blood. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He made peace for us. Through the Lord Jesus Christ making peace for us, we can walk through this world of thorns and briars, and our feet can stand firm to go and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ into all the world. Now, don't turn and read this because you're familiar with it. We read it all the time. In Romans 10, it mentions something there about the preacher's feet. Did you remember that? Romans 10, let me read it to you. Romans 10, 13. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him and whom they've not believed? How shall they believe in Him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Romans 10, verse 15. How shall they preach except they be sent? Oh, how it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. And the reference is to Isaiah 52, which says, their message is, behold, the Lord thy God reigneth. Our message that we carry with the preparation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is, behold, He reigns in all things, in salvation and in providence and in all things. Go forth and preach the gospel in all the world, and we can do so. We can walk through this world having on the gospel that's prepared for us. It's the gospel of peace. You see what he's saying here? It makes from head to toe. And then he mentions verse 16. He mentions to take the shield. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Now, why does he stress that? Wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Hold forth that shield of faith. Above all, taking this shield of faith. Well, a couple of scriptures come to mind. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, right? The evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11, verse 1. And then in Hebrews 11, verse 6, he says this, without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You see, God gives His people faith. God-given faith. We know faith is a gift of God, right? God-given faith. How do I know that the faith I have is God-given? How do I know it's not false faith? There is such a thing as false, phony faith. How do I know the faith I have is true and real? This shield of faith that he's talking about here. Well, it has one foundation. That's the Word of God. It has one object. The Lord Jesus Christ. Looking unto Jesus, who's the author and finisher of our faith. So, the shield we have, wherewith we're able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, is trusting Him, believing Him at all times. At all times. It would be impossible to stand and fight and to preach the gospel if we didn't believe and trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan and his many allies shoot many fiery darts of doubt, fear, depression against us, questioning our interest, our state in the gospel. How are we to quench them? By believing Him. The best way to defend is that believing and trusting the Lord Jesus Christ for all things. God said of Abraham, we studied Abraham this morning about him. Abraham believed God and it was counted him for righteousness. But God says this of Abraham, Genesis 15:1, fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield. and thy exceeding reward. And David also says this in Psalm 3. Let me read it to you. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Psalm 3, verse 2. Many there be which say of my soul, there's no help for him. There's no help for him in God. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Gave me rest. So, take this shield. Take this shield. Believe God. Trust him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Verse 17, number 5. Take the helmet. The helmet of salvation. Cover up your head. Your thoughts, your mind, your thinking, your affection. Take the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ is called the captain of our salvation, who's bringing many sons into glory. It's Christ who is our salvation, who protects our head, that gives us right thoughts about God, our thinking, and protects us from evil and false doctrines of men. The apostle writes this in 1 Thessalonians 5. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. That's Christ, the hope of salvation. Christ in you is the hope of glory. We have a good hope through grace. Take the helmet of salvation. Christ is our Savior, the only Savior. You see what he's saying there? And then number 6, found in the second part of verse 17, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. As I said earlier, Hebrews 4, verse 12, the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder soul and spirit, and a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. That is the written word and the incarnate word. You cannot separate the two. Above all, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Christ incarnate is called the Word of God. And the written Word of God. The written Word of God is all about the living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. Take the Word of God as a helmet of salvation. When the Lord was tempted of Satan in the wilderness those 40 days, we read about it earlier, the Lord himself rebuked Satan every time with what? The Word of God. The written Word of God. It was his sword. We can't do any better than by taking the Word of God, preaching it, reading it, believing it, loving it, and then the Word of God convicts of sin, corrects our errors in doctrine, and comforts our troubled heart. Our Lord said, these words have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome. Number 7. You didn't think I'd get there, did you? Number 7. Verse 18, praying always. What a privilege God has given unto us to call upon the name of the Lord. Seeing we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, who is tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin, he said, come boldly unto the throne of grace, that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. Praying always. That's the very breath of a believer, is to pray unto the Lord. You remember this verse? Don't turn. Let me just read it to you. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16. Rejoice evermore. Rejoice in the Lord. Verse 17 says, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. What a privilege we have to carry everything to God in prayer. Cry out unto your Father, Lord, what would you pray? A man asked me one time, said, I just don't know what to pray. I don't know how to pray. I don't know what to pray for. I said, I'll give you a hint. And here's what you pray for. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. That's what we pray for. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. That's our prayer. And our comfort and hope is this. Every sinner who came to the Lord Jesus Christ in need was healed. He never sent a mercy beggar away empty. Now, those Pharisees who approached him on the basis of their self-righteousness, he called them, you a bunch of vipers and snakes. But every sinner who came to the Lord Jesus Christ begging for mercy, blind Bartimaeus, the leper who came and worshiped, said, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. He said, I will be clean. The blind man, the cripple, he healed every one of them. That ought to encourage us to come to the Lord, praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance, continuing in the faith, and supplication for all the saints. Pray for one another, forgive one another, love one another. And I like this, verse 19 in closing, and for me. He puts himself clear at the end of the line. And for me, that utterance may be given, that I may preach the gospel, that I may open my mouth boldly and make known the mysteries of the gospel. Now, something really strange in what Paul says there. Do you notice something strange about that? He doesn't say, pray for me that I might get out of jail. He's not even concerned about being there. He knows he's there by the will of the Lord. And he knows he's there to preach the gospel. So he prays for, Lord, help me to preach the gospel. Pray for me. Pray for me. Persevering in prayer. Trust the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not to thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. And he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. And that shall be health to your navel and marrow to your bones. Praying unto the Lord. What a blessed complete armor the Lord has provided for us. God help us to look to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our captain, who is our victor, who is our Savior, who is our righteousness. Always coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord said this, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will never cast them out. God help us to come by believing him, trusting him, looking unto him.